A reading from the Gospel of Matthew.
For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away.
The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money.
After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents.
His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master."
And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents.
His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master."
Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours."
But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest."
So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
This is the gospel of grace.
Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday night, as we were gathering to dedicate the new Dinah's Glen Quiet House at Camp Broadway on what was a picture-perfect evening overlooking Eagle Mountain Lake, Patty Woolley turned to me with that twinkle that she always has in her eye and said, "Your prayers must have worked. The weather is wonderful." I retorted back to her that I could not accept the credit because next time I wouldn't want the blame. I think that was the case for this 1 talent man in the story just read. He didn't really want the credit his master offered him for fear that later on he might have to take the blame. And to him, the prospect of the former just wasn't worth the risk of the latter. And so he's come down to us through the ages as the embodiment of the proverb, "Little ventured, little gained." Or, as the parable actually unfolds, "Nothing ventured, and everything lost. It's hard for me to imagine Jesus telling a parable that is as severe as this one sounds. Is the economy of heaven really this harsh? Is the master really this demanding? Or in telling the story in this way, is Jesus trying to jolt us out of some complacency and into some deeper insight about what it means to be a servant of the master in the kingdom of heaven? First, let me disabuse us of a really bad reading of this text. Too often, the parable of the talents has been preached as an indictment against the old trope of the too lazy poor. In this reading, the one talent man is the embodiment of a certain class of people said to be too idle to pull themselves up by the bootstraps. The poor we will always have among us because the poor won't do anything to help themselves, the sermon goes. But a little Bible study reveals that this one talent man wasn't poor at all. In fact, as servants go, he was incredibly rich, his master having given him a whole talent with which to work, an amount worth 6,000 times the wage of a daily laborer. That's about $384,000 at the federal minimum wage. And double that if the worker is being paid something livable. So call it $700,000. And suddenly the one talent man becomes a very talented man. So now we see that the parable isn't so much about the indolent poor as it is perhaps the indolent rich. Or more accurately, perhaps the scared rich. The sluggard says, "There are lions out there." That's another proverb found in the Bible. And it shows us that there is ancient wisdom which links laziness psychologically and even pathologically to fear. And I think it's fear that is what this parable is really about. And what then is this one talent man afraid of? Well, I would say that he's afraid of the fear of failure. Now, he says that he's afraid of his master. "Master, I knew that you are a harsh man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you do not scatter seed. So then I was afraid." We ask ourselves, why the passive aggressiveness? Why the anger? What in the story suggests the master would demand anything more than what was possible. To each according to his ability he gives, and from each according to his ability he requires. Nothing less and nothing more. Yet the servant still rebels. Why? See, I think behind all of the anger and bluster, there is really down deep a fear of failure. He doesn't want to be blamed. So cleverly, he figures out a way to blame somebody else. But that somebody else won't take the blame. He calls it what it is, an excuse, an evasion of responsibility, for which there is a consequence. The talent is taken away from the servant, yes. But that's actually, I think, a kind of welcome consequence. Because for this man, the talent had become a kind of burden. So in some ways, taking it away was a kind of gift. But the real consequence, what the servant really missed out on, were the words, which he didn't hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. Losing the talent was one thing, but the servant's real loss was in missing out on the joy of his master. A joy which can never be had so long as we are too afraid to try to make the most of what it is that we've been given. Which makes me wonder, what if it had turned out differently? Far be it from me to try to improve on one of Jesus's parables, but what if this one talent servant hadn't buried his talent? What if he had actually really tried to do something with what had been given him? What if he ventured something? What if he ventured it all, and then what if he lost it? In the world as it is, losing the talent would have been a lot worse than burying it and returning it whole later on, as the servant did. But this isn't just a parable about the world as it is. It's a parable about the way that the world ought to be. A world where managers give their workers way more than what they need to do their work. And where they truly empower them to use the full breadth of their gifts. And a world where forgiveness of debts is not just nice, but necessary in order that the kingdoms of this world might look a little more like the kingdom of heaven. I know the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. But maybe what is required is not so much earnings as effort. not so much effectiveness as faithfulness. For that is the meaning of the gospel, isn't it? That in the end, we will be saved not by our own works, but by grace through faith. Faith in a gracious Master and God whose deepest desire is to share with his servants the gift of the joy of doing our very best for the sake of the kingdom and for one another. And so then, as St. Paul said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. A kind of self-discipline that allows us to trust ourselves with whatever it is that has been entrusted to us, that we would rightly read this parable as one of gospel and not of law, empowerment and not of judgment, possibility and not impossibility. Let me close with a page from our own history here at Broadway as a way of an example. And the funeral of our most famous member, the 20-talented man and master, Van Cliburn. Van was the world's most famous pianist. But in spite of all of his accomplishment and talent, he was notoriously nervous about performing in public. At his funeral, Sid Bass said Van once asked him, "Where do you think I have the biggest stage fright, the most anxiety?" Mr. Bass said he supposed it was New York. "Oh no," answered Van, "Fort Worth. I have so many friends in Fort Worth, and I just couldn't stand to let them down." Let me tell you something. Something truly from the bottom of my heart, which I want you to know this morning. God is not a harsh master, demanding more from us than is reasonable, reaping where he did not sow, or gathering where he did not scatter, or asking any more from us than what it is that we've been given. God is not a hard and calloused, pharaonic taskmaster. God is a friend. And let me tell you what kind of friend God is. God is the kind of friend who stands beside us even when we let God down, even when we fall flat on our face right in front of the crowd. And the whole point of this parable to me says that we need to believe in this God. Believe in this friend. Because, well, she believes in us far more even perhaps than we believe in ourselves. And that is why we've been given far more than we could ever earn or return, but just enough to give God joy, the joy of seeing us do our best with the grace we've thus far been given, and trusting that there's even an infinite amount more of that grace where it is that it came from. If we would only dare to accept it. No, I don't want to take the credit for things I shouldn't, and neither do I want the blame. But I do want the joy of having known that my talent, little or big, I've done my best with. And now I trust God for all of the rest. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.